Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
That was like a, that high was kind of like the high girls give when like boys are walking by and they wave and you're like, hi. But okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. You're feeling lovely in this April. We're just cruising through April.
Feeling good. Feeling good right now.
Warmer and warmer.
Yes, Lord.
So Alan's hitting them with the... Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. Well, we'll take it. How are things? You know, we are fully through Q1. Q1's coming on of 2021.
Yeah. Yo, one of my boys had an IPO.
Okay.
Recently.
Shout out to big one of your boys.
Big shout to Compass, the real estate tech fund.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I should say tech firm. Yeah. He's done well. The company's worth like $7 billion now.
Alrighty.
He's a guy I used to work with at Goldman back in the day. Hardworking dude, Robert Refkin. Big shout out to him.
Big shout out to him. That's who we should be hiring.
Black dude, by the way.
Hi. Robert Refkin. No, he really has been doing like a really great things in the real estate tech space. And so shout out to him.
Yeah. We need more black IPOs. Don't you think?
A lot more.
Yes.
A lot more black IPOs for sure. So what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, we've got to talk a little bit more about this home buying thing.
Mm.
Yeah. A year ago when we were back on SiriusXM, I'm not sure if you remember, Tiffany, we used to be on there instead of on Podcast
World. Who would remember that? Sirius who?
A year ago.
X what?
At the beginning of the COVID crisis, we did a show on rethinking real estate. And our prediction at that time was that it's a great time to be buying real estate right now.
Yeah. Back then, you know, everybody was forced to stay home and actually believed in that. People no longer believe in staying home.
Yeah, they don't.
But
they
at that time, you know, we were still quite shook and everyone was staying at home. And so the home that you were or were not in became a lot more important. And so people were buying homes left and right. People were realizing that the homes that they were in were not going to be enough to accommodate their quarantine needs. And so they were trying to upgrade. Some people were moving out of major metropolitan areas and moving to more suburban rural areas. So they didn't have to worry about being around so many people. But home ownership, buying homes, it was a big deal. It was a big deal in the beginning of COVID.
And for those who took our advice, they're sitting pretty right now.
Yeah.
For those who didn't, it's not too late.
It's not too late. Yeah. For those, a lot of you guys might not have known about us then. And so maybe you didn't hear that episode. But home buying, the interest of purchasing a home is something that needs to be talked about. If you're going to do it, how you should do it, why you should do it, best ways to do it.
I am a
fairly new homeowner.
Okay.
First time homeowner. I've been in my home now for, I purchased my home in October of 2019. I moved in around February, March of 2020. Thank God I moved in right before COVID. But we'll talk about that experience also.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we were right. Yeah, we were right. The stat that I read recently is that home prices in America rose by 11.2% in January, which is the fastest pace of home price growth since 2006. It's a fast-growing market. Now, what that means is that if you waited, if you haven't bought yet, prices are a bit higher now.
Yeah, and it also means if you own and are looking to sell, it might be a nice time for you right now.
Especially if you're, let's say you're a little older and you want to
downsize.
Yeah, you want to downsize.
And get rid of them damn kids. You got all the kids out the house.
Yeah.
You and hubby are just kind of empty nesters now. Mm-hmm. Maybe going to do some responsible traveling. And you don't need all this house anymore. You don't need all these bedrooms anymore. And so you're going to downsize, save some money, but also maybe make some money.
Yeah, you might need to reassess. Another trend that we predicted and it's coming true is like there's a lot of people who want to buy homes but can't afford it. Maybe their credit's not good enough. They're down to just rent a home, which means there's an opportunity for those of us who decide to be landlords to buy a home that might make a home for someone that just can't qualify for a mortgage.
Yeah, I also think there's a huge opportunity, and I kind of alluded to it moments ago for these like not so popular areas, right? Maybe you own a home in a rural or more suburban area that probably wouldn't have attracted a lot of people pre-COVID. But now, as Alan mentioned, people are looking to get out of the hustle and bustle. They're doing remote working, so they no longer need to be in these major New York City, LA spaces where they just feel like their health is more compromised and they're more open to these not so popular spaces. They're more open to these rural or suburban areas. It'll be an opportunity, maybe where you would not have been able to attract a renter before. Now they're checking for you. They're interested and they might be willing to pay a little bit more.
Yeah, because they might be able to Zoom to work for the next
Okay.
year. They might be able to Zoom for church, right? Like, it doesn't matter so much where you live anymore. Like, we have Momentum employees now in all types of different states and maybe even other countries right now that we never would have considered a year ago.
Yeah,
And that's the
absolutely.
space we're in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that's making home ownership even more attractive, and yet it's still hard to find a home. We've got a home shortage going on in this
Yeah.
country.
Here's the thing, right? Like, we're not getting any more land,
No.
right? We're land's not becoming more available. If anything, we're losing land to the oceans, global warming. That's a thing that's happening. And so with the land that we have that has homes on it, yeah, there's still development happening. There's a lot of high rises being built in certain areas. So maybe condos and things like that are becoming more available. But we're not getting a lot more single family homes. Like there's not going to be a lot more residential real estate available to the world. And so it is what it is. Now we're getting more people. We're getting more people who are interested or qualified to purchase homes, but the number kind of is what the number is. And so that is causing or pushing towards a shortage.
Mortgage rates are incredibly low. On average, the 30-year mortgage dipped below 3% recently. Today, the average 30-year mortgage is about 3.17%. That's crazy low. And that means that the affordability of homes is really good in terms of the mortgage. The challenge, though, is that these prices are high. We read a stat that 39% of home buyers paid over asking price for their home in the last few months.
Yeah, I will say I'm one of these people who paid well over asking price for my home. One other thing that's happening right now, though, is that the millennials, and I guess I am a millennial, millennials
Barely.
were, I'm not, well, no, I mean, yeah, I'm an early millennial, but I'm a millennial. There were articles pre-COVID that talked about how millennials are staying home too long. Millennials are living with their parents, you know, well into their mid and late 20s. We're not ready to leave the nest. But now, we're ready. And so we are aging into wanting to purchase our own homes. We're now interested. And so what they're finding is that millennials have also hit their sweet spot and where they are ready to purchase homes. And so this is applying pressure to the market. There's a whole slew, a whole new generation that's now on the home buying front.
Absolutely. And we already talked about new home construction has been slower than average. There's a shortage. There's only 1 million homes for sale in this country right now.
That sounds crazy. I
Only
don't
1
believe
million.
that.
And this is the same number of homes that were for sale in 1982.
I don't believe this.
These are
I
facts.
don't believe these numbers. There's only one across this entire
The whole
country,
country
there's only 1 million homes.
for sale right now.
Now, I will tell you, in our town, it is homes don't stay on the market more than 24
Oh,
hours.
it's bleak.
It is very, you've got to be ready and aggressive. Hence why I paid well over asking price. For my home, but I have to believe, like in some of these areas, there's plenty of homes available. Like, if there's only 1 million homes available in all of the United States, then it is definitely a fight right now.
Yeah, it's a seller's market. So, like, if you ever thought about downsizing, moving somewhere else that's less expensive, like, now's the time to do it for sure. Like, you will get your price. Absolutely. Or you'll get better. 39% of the homes that are selling for over asking price. So,
Yeah, there's a home in my neighborhood right now that's for sale, and it's one of those for sale by owner. And I don't really know how that works, but I always, when I see a for sale by owner, I always think that they just believe they can get a higher price. Like, if you have a broker involved, they're going to give you comps, right? Like, you know, this is what it should go for. You know, this is what we're thinking. But when you do for sale by owner, you could just throw out your number. You don't have no comps. This is just our number. And I think people think they're more likely to get it when there aren't other professionals interfering in the process.
but the buyers are going to have brokers,
Yeah.
and those buyers' brokers are going to show them
But then
comps.
you're gonna be like, man, if you don't buy it, somebody else will. Okay.
I think they're just being cheap. I think they just don't want to pay the 6% broker fee.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it goes. I've never sold my residential home before, so I don't really know how that goes.
Yeah. So we should talk more about why we're talking about homeownership. We do calls all the time with listeners who reach out to us at our website, momentum-advisors.com. They come to us because they want some financial planning advice. They want to, you know, just get an update on how they're doing financially. And we recently did one with a woman who was considering buying a home because people were telling her that she should, but she wasn't quite clear why it mattered, right? And so we talked about some of the benefits. Like, the biggest benefit to home ownership, it's not that the price is going to keep rising. It's just the notion of equity. Like, even if the house stays the exact same price and it never rises, when you pay down your mortgage, eventually it'll be worth zero. Yeah, so that's wealth. That's the creation of wealth. Now, we also expect that over time, your home price will rise. But even if you don't buy that, even if you don't believe it, simply paying down your debt on something over time, if that asset value stays high, you're going to have equity. That's actual wealth that you've created by paying off a mortgage over time.
Yeah, it's a major investment. For a lot of people, their biggest investment is their home. And so, as Alan mentioned, paying into something that will acquire wealth for your family, that will grow in value over time, hopefully, that's a really, really big deal. You know what I mean? And I do need to make a caveat. Like, I need to stop, put a pin in this for a second. I do want you guys to know we are not the rent shamers. Okay.
No, not at all.
So I will tell you, up until I purchased my home in the last 2 years, I never wanted to purchase my own residential home. We own investment properties, but I had no interest. I was loved paying rent. I was down for the rent. I had my reasons on why being a renter worked for me. And all the people who would come at me with, you're just throwing that money away. You know, you need to own a home. You're not acquiring wealth. You're making bad decisions. They used to get on my nerves. Those people absolutely got on my nerves. First of all, I own enough other stuff. Okay, if I don't want to own a home, I'm fine. I'm covered in other areas. I have other investments. I got other really great things going on. Two, I had my reasons for why being a renter worked for me. I like to move around a lot. I don't like to be responsible for when things break. I don't want to be responsible for mowing the lawn. You know, I like to be able to change my space when I feel like it. And so there were a number of reasons why being a renter works for some people. And again, we are not rent shamers. If renting is your deal and you like it, keep doing you, boo. But we are, just on this episode, also highlighting the advantages of being a homeowner if that's something you're ready for.
Absolutely. It's not for everybody. Like, if you're planning to move in a couple of years, you're not sure if you want to be in the city, your job is inflexible.
If you're on a run, yeah, maybe.
If you're on a run eating.
Right? There's a warrant out for you. You can't stay in places for long. Maybe you're in, what is that called? When you're hiding.
Oh, you're in
witness protection. Maybe you're in witness protection. There's a lot of reasons to be a renter. Okay. Don't let anybody shame you into purchasing a home, because honestly, buying a home when you're not ready is one of the worst things that you can do.
Facts.
So this episode, this podcast, if you are not ready to purchase a home, put a pin in it, listen to it, take some notes, and use this information for later for others who have been considering it but not sure. Maybe this is the right time to listen. And for those who are very interested, we've got some information for you.
Absolutely.
Now,
no rent shame here.
Yeah, no rent shame here. Now, another great advantage to purchasing a home, this is my favorite advantage, is that the mortgage doesn't change. It's a fixed mortgage payment every single month. Now, as a renter, my rent went up every single year. Even though I didn't do anything different, if I stayed in the same unit from 1 year to the next, my rent went up no matter what. And because of inflation, which we've done a podcast episode on, things continue to get more expensive. Even though they haven't changed, they haven't gotten better, nobody's made any upgrades, rent prices will inherently continue to climb. And so when you purchase a home, when you own a home and have a mortgage, that mortgage payment, you can count on it being just that number this year, next year, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. That is a value, because as you continue to make money, or as inflation continues to impact the rest of the world, if you want to have some sort of control over your expenses, one thing you know for sure, that mortgage payment is going to stay the same.
The final benefit is that eventually it'll be paid off.
Yeah.
Imagine that. great blessed day.
Yeah.
When your mortgage is $0 a month, all you have to pay is your property tax and your homeowner's insurance.
So I paid my mortgage payment the other day, and I had a flashback to when I lived in New York City. I used to live in Dumbo, which is a part of Brooklyn. My mortgage payment today in 2021 is $300 more than my rent payment in 2014.
But I bet today that same place is renting for a lot more.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like 7 years ago, I was practically paying what I'm paying right now, right? 7 years ago in my one bedroom apartment in Dumbo, I was paying pretty much what I'm paying now for my three bedroom home with a full basement, a huge in-ground pool. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes me think, like, to your point, if I was still in that apartment, and it was a lovely apartment, don't get it messed up, it would easily, I'd easily be paying double today.
Yeah.
For that same one bedroom space that no one came in and did some improvements to or offered me something different. Like, I just, that is insane to me. And so for other people who are renters, who are considering being homeowners, just think about the fact that in the rental space that you are currently in, your rent price is going to increase no matter what. As your apartment continues to get older and more outdated, you will be paying more for it versus your home where you can do whatever you want to do to it. You can upgrade it. You can make it better. You can make it perfect. Will always be the same price for you no matter what consistently.
Flip side, you might have to replace the roof.
You know,
HVAC, hot water heater,
new refrigerator.
Yeah. Appliances might break on you.
You might need some new floors.
Somebody's going to have to cut the grass every now and then.
But
shovel snow.
To your point, right, that adds to the value of the home, right? As you make improvements to your space, it oftentimes helps increase the overall value of that home. So it does help. There is some benefit to it. Now, I know we don't like it at the time. We don't like having to come out of pocket for these random things we weren't prepared for. But long term, it is beneficial to do these things.
And that home equity, that's literally money in the bank. It's cash. Like, you can borrow against it. When you sell your home, you can take a check. Like, we talked to a woman just the other day. She is going through a divorce, and her husband are going to split a six-figure proceed from selling the home. And they're going to move to another part of the country. But it's the home equity that funded all that. That wasn't savings. So again, this idea of home ownership as a wealth creation vehicle is a big one. When you think about the American balance sheet, the net worth of the average American family, one of the biggest assets on that balance sheet is home equity. And so we don't want to belabor the point. But again, we think it's a good idea to be thinking about it. And that's what we're breaking down today. So let's talk about home ownership for the new homeowner right now. There's a lot of first-time homebuyer programs that are out there. And one thing that is unique is that you don't have to actually be a first-time homebuyer.
Yeah, when I found this information out, I was a little bit shocked. I was a little bit taken aback. Like, when I purchased my home, I was a first-time homebuyer. But oftentimes, people think you have to actually be buying your home for the first time in order to qualify for some first-time homebuyer benefits.
You really just have to have not owned a home in the last 3 years.
That's it.
So if 5 years ago, you and your boo broke up and you sold the house, you've been renting ever since, guess what? You've got your, like, your virginity again. Your home buyer virginity is back.
You don't have your virginity again. Let's not even
your home buyer virginity is back.
Sure. Your home buyer, I don't even know if we should use the term. Y'all can't get y'all's virginity back, okay? I don't even want to put that out there as an option. The virginity is gone. If you gave up the goods, they got them. If you stop doing anything else for 5 years, you are not now a virgin again. I don't even want to put that out there. We are specifically talking about home buying, okay?
Virginity.
Home buying. If you have not owned a home for the last 3 years, you can now be considered a new home buyer, a first-time home buyer after 3 years of not owning a home.
How about a born-again home buyer?
If you have not given up your cookies in the last 3 years, you are not now a virgin. Okay? I don't know why we have to. I just want to make that clear. Like, If somebody ate the cookies are gone.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Okay. Born again, home buyer.
Born. You're using all these terms that are like dicey. It's dicey. Like, okay. Born again. Okay. Like,
renewed, first time home buyer.
That's the word. Okay. That's the word. Okay. Yeah, not born again. Listen, you could be born again tomorrow. Thankfully, you know, depending on who you believe in, being born again is always an option. But virginity is not. So you are a renewed first-time home buyer if you have not owned a home in the last 3 years. That should make a lot of people feel good because there are really good first-time home buyer benefits that people oftentimes feel like they don't have access to or they've lost out on. And you'd be surprised to know that they're still available to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first-time home buyers, again, to qualify for a lot of these programs, you haven't owned a home in 3 years. You got to have some decent credit. Like, the minimum for an FHA mortgage is 580. For other mortgage programs, it's 640. But that's not perfect credit. Decent credit.
Oftentimes with first-time home buyers, they're a little bit more flexible on that credit score than they would be for others.
Yeah. And then finally, you just need to be able to have a decent debt to income ratio.
Yeah.
Like, if you have these three things, notice we didn't say down payment, and we'll talk about some down payment assistance programs after the break. But again, to be a first time home buyer really puts you in a great position to take advantage of a lot of different programs.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people out there who are considered first time home buyers who didn't know it. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
We are talking about buying a home.
Yeah.
It's a good time. The market is hot.
Let's
if you are interested in buying a home, there is some opportunity for you. But we do want to talk about the trends, what's going on right now, what will work in your favor, what might not work in your favor, and just some things that you might not have known.
Absolutely. So let's break down some of these down payment assistance programs, because what we found statistically is that 2 out of 3 people say that their biggest challenge to buying a home is coming up with that down payment money.
Yeah, I will tell you, in my personal experience, it's not something I thought about. So I did not have a strong interest in buying a home literally up until the moment I found myself buying a home, right? Like, I hadn't been thinking about it for years or even months. And so this was all new to me. So I wasn't prepared. I didn't have a down payment necessarily prepared. But the one thing that I did know as a first-time home buyer, I was made aware that, like, coming up with a down payment, I would get some assistance or just some more favorable options if I didn't have a really, really great down payment.
There's a lot of state and local programs. Just Google it. Like, in your city, in your state, what are some down payment assistance programs? There are grants. There are forgivable loans. There's over 2,000 of these programs across the country. And a lot of times it's the state that runs them or the city that runs them. A lot of times the banks can put you on to the different programs as well. But again, down payment should not be a major hurdle. So the way these programs work, again, they vary, right? And we'll go through in this show a couple of examples. But there are grants. Again, grants is an outright gift of money that you don't have to repay.
You just got it. They just gave it to you.
Yeah. Sometimes home builders will even give grants. Did you know that?
For sure.
They want people to buy their raggedy homes.
They're not raggedy. Okay. Buy their lovely homes.
Lovely. There's also forgivable loans that are zero interest. There's deferred payment loans that are zero interest, meaning like you don't make any payment on it right now. And then later you have to make payments on it. You know, like that's a help. That'll help you get closed.
Yeah. Sometimes there are assistance programs where the down payment required is just incredibly low. You know, I think oftentimes we hear like you should have 20% down to purchase a home. That is a meaningful amount of money. Yeah. That's a lot of money. In a lot of these programs, sometimes you're only required to have 3% down, right? So in the case where you are looking to buy a $200,000 house and you only need 3% down, that's $6,000.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's easier to come up with than the $40,000 that would have been required if it was a 20% down payment required.
So some of these first-time homebuyer programs that have down payment assistance, they have some requirements. They're usually not that onerous. One of the requirements might be that you have to take a first-time homebuyer course.
Yeah, I've seen that. And oftentimes those courses are online, right? So they just require you, as Alan mentioned, to take a course. But you might not even have to go anywhere in person, especially now in COVID times. Just log on to a little something, maybe once a week for 5 weeks or so. And now you qualify to not have to come up with that much money to purchase a home.
Another one is there might be an income limit. And often these limits are, they want to target some kind of low and moderate income people. But sometimes, depending on the geography, it might be a place where homes cost a lot of money. And so you might qualify for one of these programs and you make six figures. Like I know in DC, some of the programs that we'll talk about have really high income limits. Another requirement is there might be a geographic restriction. So it has to be in a certain neighborhood or a certain part of town.
In other instances, the requirement is that maybe you have a home purchase price cap, right? So you can't buy the $1 million home, right? If, first of all, if you need assistance, then the $1 million home might not be for you this time around. But you might have to stay below a maximum home purchase price, which is usually a percentage of that area's median home purchase price. So they're not necessarily going to put you into horrible, horrible houses. I don't want you to think that. But it's usually kind of, again, some sort of percentage around whatever their average home price is.
Next, they will want you to put some of your money down.
Something, like something.
You got to put something on it.
You got to put a little something down. Like they have to know that you're really invested and that you've got skin in the game and that you're taking this seriously. You know, as we talked about, purchasing a home is a major life investment. And so you got to be prepared with something. You know, like it can't just be, I got $50 on it. Like, no, they are going to require you to put something up, just not nearly as much that may be traditionally required.
Absolutely. They also will require this to be your primary home residence if you want to get one of these down payment assistance grants or low interest loans. You just got to live there.
Yeah. And the reason for that is because they don't want real estate investors or developers using these assistance programs for them to be flipping houses, right? They want to make sure that these assistance programs are going towards people who really want a place to live, who really are looking for their next home. Because honestly, I think it would be a disservice if this money was going towards investors and not towards, again, people who really just wanted a home, who really were ready to purchase a residence for themselves and their families.
I love it. And then finally, there might be a requirement that you work with an approved lender. Like sometimes there are banks that have been approved to offer these programs. And so again, the banks are often a really good source of information about these programs. So how do you get started? There are state programs, there are city programs. Again, you can Google it. We're going to tweet out some of these programs. We found a bunch of programs on this website, themortgagereports.com. But you can also check out the website of your local government agency. Just Google it. Again, first-time homebuyer programs, and Google the name of your city or your state. So let's go through a couple of sample programs by state.
Okay, so we can start with Alabama. I know the Alabama Housing Finance Authority has their Step Up program.
Okay.
They lend you your down payment, right? And so what happens is your household income cannot exceed $97,300.
That's loot in Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's meaningful. You need a credit score of at least 620.
That's not that bad.
I think that's fair. And your new mortgage must be a Housing Finance Authority preferred conventional loan from the Step Up program. So as Alan mentioned, oftentimes you're going to be required to work with certain banks or certain lenders. But if you qualify for those three things and you live in Alabama, they will lend you your down payment.
So let's talk about California. We've got a lot of listeners in California, going back to Cali. California has the Housing Finance Agency My Home Assistance Program. This is a program that will loan you in the form of a mortgage. They'll loan you up to $10,000 or 3.5% of the purchase price of that home. It's a second mortgage, so you've got to pay it. But again, they'll give you that cash, that 3.5% that is often required to get into that home.
Yeah, and California is definitely one of these states that recognizes any person who has not owned a home in the last 3 years as a first-time home buyer.
Washington, D.C.
D.C.
Chocolate City.
The DMV area. So this is a loan program for borrowers with an income below 80% of the area's median income and is deferred until the property is sold, refinanced to take equity out, or is no longer their primary residence. So once again, this is a loan up to $80,000 in gap finance assistance, along with an extra $4,000 towards closing costs that you potentially don't have to pay back until after you move out or after you sell the house. It's a 0% interest loan. It's for moderate income borrowers who earn between 80% and 110% of the area median income.
DC is one of those places that where people have a lot of income, right? So moderate income in DC is very different than moderate income in, let's say, Alabama. But in order to qualify as a single person with a one-person household, you can make up to $93,000 in D.C., and you can qualify for up to $80,000 in down payment assistance, which is great. If you had a bigger family, a family of, let's say, eight people, then it's $141,000. But, you know, your typical family of four, $133,000 is the income maximum, and you can qualify for a significant amount of down payment money.
In Georgia, they have something called the Georgia Dream Homeownership Program, the GDHP, which is typically for first-time homebuyers. Even though they have certain cases where they will work with non-first-time homebuyers, you have to contribute $1,000 of your own money towards the down payment, but then they'll put up anywhere from $5,000 to $7,500 to kind of help you get over the hump in putting down your down payment.
What about Illinois? Illinois has the First Home Program where they will give you a non-repayable, forgivable grant for up to $7,500 in specific counties. But one of those counties is Cook County. That's Chicago. They'll give you up to $7,500 down. All you have to do is put up either 1% or $1,000 by yourself. So if you can put up $1,000, they'll give you $7,500. That's a good deal.
Totally. So let me tell you about how I purchased a home. Right. I think I did a non-traditional way of purchasing a home that I didn't even know was available until it was time for me to purchase a home. I have very specific requirements for getting into this home buyer's game. As I mentioned, it wasn't anything that I was really interested in. I was trying to be a renter till I died. And something just came upon me like, hey, it's time for you to buy a home. But I said to myself, the only way I'm gonna be willing to own a home, meaning like I'm gonna really be stuck in this place for a long period of time, is if it could be exactly what I want it to be, right? That was my requirement. Like, I didn't want to just buy any home that I could afford. That wasn't going to be good enough for me. It had to be a home that was perfect for me. And so I talked to one of my friends who's actually a real estate developer, and he told me about the 203K loan program. Okay. And the 203K loan program, it may sound very complicated, and people may try to steer you away. I had so many people telling me horror stories about the 203K loan program. But if you can handle it, it's a go. The way that it works is the 203K loan is a loan for the purchase of a home plus the purchase of the home's improvements. And so, for instance, in my case, I knew I wanted to buy a home that needed some work, and I wanted to put a lot of work into it so that it could be the home perfect for me. And so with my 203K loan, I was able to find a home. Then you have to work with a 203K approved contractor to highlight and quote out all of the changes and upgrades that you want to make to the home. You submit both of these numbers at the same time, and you receive a mortgage for the full amount. So I received my mortgage for the price of the home, plus the price of all the improvements that I wanted to make to the home. There are some stipulations around this. You can't just ball out and be like, I want to add $600,000 worth of improvements to a home. So I added multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars of improvements to my home, but it worked because they come up with some sort of calculation based on how much they believe the house will be worth once these improvements are made. So say you want to buy a home for $300,000, but make $200,000 worth of improvements. If the appraiser comes in and says $200,000 of those specific improvements that person requested will make the house worth $500,000 or more, you will get approval for $200,000 worth of improvements. They have to show that the house's value will be equal to or more than the total loan amount that they are offering to you.
This is the perfect loan for the person that has the eye for the ugly house in the good neighborhood, right? If there's a house in a neighborhood where the average home sells for $600K, but there's a busted and disgusted house that is sitting there vacant for 10 years and it's you can buy it for $150 from the bank, but it needs a lot of work. This is the perfect 203K loan home.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things. So because 203K loans are insured by the Federal Housing Administration, oftentimes you get more lenient qualifications. Your credit score doesn't have to be as high. You don't have to have as much of a down payment. There's a lot of additional benefits to doing something like this. As Alan mentioned, you do have to have the patience. You do have to have the eye. Like, you do have to be ready to be a part of renovations and things of that nature. But again, the additional benefits are your qualifications are not nearly as high as when it comes to a traditional mortgage. So for a lot of people who want to have a nice house but want to do it in an affordable way, or they might not qualify for the price of a house in the current state that they want it to be in, you can go the 203K route and build the house or build the condition of the house that you want to live in with more lenient requirements and with some help. And the way that the payment works is, when you get the loan, they pay for the house, of course, and then the bank pays the contractor. Mm-hmm. So you are not on the hook with this contractor. This contractor has to submit their progress to the bank, and the bank releases the payment to the contractor. You're never responsible for paying any of these people. You're off the hook. All you have to do is just pay your mortgage. Everybody else who gets paid out in this process gets taken care of by the bank.
So let's go through the eligibility for this loan, because this is also not necessarily a first-time homebuyer loan.
Facts.
Like, anybody can qualify for a 203K loan, provided that they have these requirements. So the first one is that you've got to have a credit score of at least 500, but really, if your score is that low, they're going to make you put down 10%.
Okay, but just 500, if you're okay, they're even talking to you if you have a credit score of 500, I think that's meaningful, because there are other traditional loans that will talk to you with the credit score of 500. As Alan mentioned, hopefully it's higher. The higher it is above 500, the less you have to put down in the form of a down payment.
If your credit score is 580 or above, they then only require 3.5% down.
Come on now.
That's a small amount.
Okay.
And that's 3.5% of the whole thing?
Of the whole thing.
The purchase price.
It's 3.5% of the whole amount that you're asking for. So it's the cost of the house plus the cost of the construction. And I do want to add this one piece. 203K is not only if you are looking to do a major overhaul. You might just want to upgrade the bathroom. Like, it doesn't have to be for major projects. You can still do a 203K loan, maybe if you're just going to upgrade the kitchen. You know what I mean? And so you are still eligible, again, for these more lenient requirements and this more favorable loan opportunity. Now, again, you got to go through contractors, and that's its own headache within itself, but it doesn't have to always be big projects. It could be a small project. As long as you believe that it's going to add to the value of the home, you might want to consider a 203K loan.
Next is the loan amount has to be less than $331K in certain areas. And in higher cost areas, the limit is $765K.
Yeah.
So $765 is a decent budget. Like, yeah, you could buy a home for $400K, put $300,000 worth of improvements, and all you needed to do was put down 3.5%. That's a really, really good deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell y'all how much I paid for my house, but it was damn sure more than $331,000 for sure. Now, it wasn't as high as $765,000, but I'm in a really great neighborhood. I have a really, really great house. And so again, you're not forced into bad conditions. You're not forced into a bad house or a bad situation.
Now, you got to tell the real story, Tiffany. Like, this was not an easy process. I think you're selling it.
I'm selling it.
Like, look, it's got some pros. I'm like, it's good that it's got a low money down situation. The interest rate is low. They actually also cover the cost of your mortgage payments during construction, so you don't have to pay a mortgage.
That was the money one.
Come on. This was not an easy process.
It wasn't an easy process, but you do have to highlight that. So they cover the cost of your mortgage for 6 months into your construction. Okay? So say you're just doing the bathroom, and that's 30 days of construction. You still have your mortgage covered for 5 additional months into the program. So that's just, that was a win. That was a highlight. Now my construction, I had a huge overhaul. So I had probably 4 months of construction on the house where the house wasn't livable. So I could not live in there at all, but it's helpful. The expectation is that you might not be living in your house. And so they don't want you paying a mortgage while you're not living in there. Now, to Alan's point, my process was painful. And that is because
harrowing. It was a harrowing experience.
There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of cursing. There were a lot of days where I just didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to give up for sure.
But I came in the office one day. You were punching the air.
I don't punch the air. First of all, that's not something that I do. But no, there were a lot of tears. There was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of calls that I had to make, cursing at people, yelling at people. But that was specifically because of the mortgage company that I used. I will say that the mortgage company that I used just was not good at their job, in my opinion. We did get the loan done, but it was horrible. It was a horrible experience working with them. But as horrible as that experience was working with that particular mortgage company, I do it again. And I plan on, whenever I do go to purchase my next home, I do plan on doing a 203K loan again. I don't see why I would not repeat this. Like, I am a person who does like projects. I am a person who does like personalizing things and going through the process with construction and contractors. So that doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people. I will do it again. I will do it every time, to be honest with you.
And I will say it is a beautiful home.
Well, thank you. So we are talking about home ownership. We are talking about traditional and non-traditional ways to get and pay for a home. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are talking about home ownership.
Yes.
If this is something that you're considering, or maybe something that you're highly interested in, hopefully we are providing you information with different ways to pay for your homes, different ways to consider a mortgage, different things to think about, understanding what you qualify for and what you don't qualify for. Before we went to break, I talked about my personal experience 2 years ago where I used a 203K loan to purchase my home and to essentially build my dream home for a lot less than I would have been able to pay for if it was ready made, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. One thing that I did also learn with the 203K loan program, people will tell you that you can't use the 203K loan for investment properties. That's what I was told. I was told that you have to live in the home for a certain period of time. That is a requirement. You have to live there for at least 2, 3, 4 years before you sell it. When it came to my bank, when it came to my mortgage lender, even talking to my auditor, they said that's absolutely not true. They said, we could care less if you live in this home or not. Like, as long as you pay what you're supposed to pay and or pay it off, that's none of our business. And so I'm not necessarily recommending that people use it for investment reasons, but I have heard from very reliable sources, specifically through my process, that you can if you want to.
Yeah, I think also, if I remember correctly, it was one thing that you got from your mortgage broker, and then the people that actually closed the loan said something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And like, once you close, like, maybe you were planning to live there, but maybe you changed your mind.
Yeah. You know, for me, I had planned on living here, but I will tell you there were moments, especially as the house was finishing up, where people were like, because of the amount of equity that's now in this home, because of the improvements that I've made, some people were like, oh, you should sell. Like, you would probably make a really good profit if you sold today. And I had the ability, or at least I'm now aware that I could have done that if I wanted to. I would not have had a place to live. So I chose not to. But there's a lot of things that can be done with this 203K loan program. There are a lot of stipulations, some really, really great and some really restricting. But I think it's something that people should at least know about, know that's available to them. Again, it doesn't have to be used for huge projects. My project was a really big project. It could be used for just updating a bathroom. just updating a kitchen, even just finishing a basement, as long as they believe that it will add value to the price of the home, you're eligible.
I love it. I love it. So let's talk a little bit more about some other programs. I think this 203K is one that folks need to really know about. But one, you know, little thing I would tell you is that people are surprised when they find out how much home they could buy. You know, the debt to income ratio that mortgage companies really look for, it's like 36%.
Yeah.
And that's like your gross income. So if you make, you know, 10 grand a month, that's 6 grand that can go towards debt. If it was 5 grand a month, it's 3 grand a month that can go towards debt. That means you could buy a lot of home, right?
Right. Like we're always seeing, this is how a lot of people got involved in the housing crisis. Like back in the day, you were making $50,000 a year, but you were eligible for $800,000 house. Like you get these very exciting, inflated numbers because you went online and put in your first last name and your, you know, favorite color. And now you're automatically qualified for $1 million home. So yeah, you will often find that you are eligible for more home than you anticipated. It doesn't mean that you can actually afford it.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But if you can keep your ratio, I would say 28% or lower, that's a comfortable number, right? If you're at 28%, that means someone who makes $72,000 could possibly afford a $350,000 to $400,000 home.
Yeah.
Because interest rates are really low, right? Because interest rates have now dipped to around 3%. Like I remember when I first bought my home, my rate was like 6.5%.
Lord.
I was happy.
Lord.
Now it's half that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other caution we want to give, you know, again, don't buy too much home. I think we hit on that. Make sure that you, you know, do your own calculations to make sure you can afford
it. Because they don't know what your other expenses are. Like if we're being honest, like just because you qualify for a $5,000 a month mortgage, right? First of all, doesn't mean that like, can you eat? Is there furniture in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have internet? Are you able to turn the utilities on? They don't know how much student loan you have. They don't know how much your car note is. There are all these other expenses that factor in to your life that only you are aware of. So don't bite off more than you can chew because somebody threw a random number at you.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But here's some advice for the person that already owns a home. Rates are low. They're thinking about refinancing. They're getting all this mail. People calling them up saying, hey, let me help you refinance. Just be careful not to add extra years on the term of your mortgage. A lot of times people refinance so many times, they'll never get the house paid off. Like, do you really need your mortgage payment to drop? Or would you be better off paying that same mortgage and being over and done with it faster? Or if you refinance, maybe take it from a 30-year down to a 20-year, or take it from a 20-year down to a 15. Like, the goal of owning a home is to eventually have the mortgage paid off. It doesn't always benefit you to refinance and extend out that term. So just be really, really careful with that. So I think we talked about a lot of stuff.
I mean, I feel like we could talk about this stuff for days. Like we have so much more content that we could add to the home buying conversation. And maybe we will revisit it at some point. But I think what we hope happened today is that you have considered the options of what purchasing a home looks like for you right now, or maybe selling your home right now. Maybe you're open to more non-traditional loan programs. Maybe you're eligible for down payment assistance and you weren't even aware. Maybe we've just motivated you to just go on Google and just see what's available in your county and state for home buyer's assistance. If you just do that, I think we've accomplished something on today's program.
Or tell a friend about it.
Tell a friend. Tell, you know tell somebody.
Tell your 20-year-old that is about to graduate from college or trade school that they should put this on their radar screen.
Listen, something like that. But everybody knows somebody who might be looking to buy or sell a home. And so hopefully this information helped and served someone. We've got more great content coming your way. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Show.